your budget and it's all as well. Let me, it's a man that walk with doctrine that comes stand of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A couple of verses in Leviticus 2, verse 1. But then he will offer a meat offering unto the Lord. His offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall make take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and the oil thereof, and all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire with sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Now just a verse in the New Testament, I think it's Luke 4. No, it's Luke 3. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I will please." It is very clear, beloved saints of God, that the opening of Psalm 1 is Christ. Why, Paul, you remember the greatest of the servants of the blessed Lord could say of himself that he was an overbearing man, but mercy had been extended towards him. Even the great apostle Paul couldn't take the language of these three verses upon his lips. There's only been one blessed, perfect, holy man here, the impeccable Christ. He took these verses upon his lips, or at least he could do that. He is the only one of whom it could be said that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and me, that in that law he meditated day and night. It's an interesting study to notice that all the psalms which begin with blessed are grouped together by the Hebrews and are called the Asherite psalms. Asher, you remember, was the name given to one of Jacob's sons because his mother said how blessed it was to receive this child. So for some reason the Jews have named these the Asherite psalms. They all begin with blessed. I think there are about six of them. I can't say I've ever counted them, but this is the first one. And I believe the third one closes the book, this book one, Psalm 41. I believe that opens too with blessed. Possibly Psalm 32. My memory is not altogether clear about it. But this clearly is the first of the Asherite psalms. First of the psalms which begin with blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's only been one man, may I say again, because what we have before us is the pathway of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It is not his death, it is not his life in glory. In fact, the scripture tells us nothing about what he is doing up there in the glory apart from his caring for his beloved people down here. I mean, his life is not unfolded as to what he's doing there, but all the gospels are devoted to the recording of his life down here until the end of the Gospels, and a few brief verses perhaps or chapters account for his death. But it is his life that the Spirit of God dwells upon, and I doubt not dwells upon with the greatest delight, because there was never a life down here such as the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am persuaded in my own soul, beloved saints of God, that we do not give enough attention to this perfect life of Jesus, because long before he came here, the blessed God's heart was so full of the man that would be here, that he rehearsed over and over again in his own inimical way the coming into the world, and the kind of man that would come into the world, and over again with the greatest care and delight, it seems to me, he tells also what will be found in this perfect man when he is here upon earth. Why, if you will recall, taking your minds back for a moment to the verses we read in Leviticus 2, you will recall that even when he was born, babe in Bethlehem stranger, the heavens were opened then, and he was declared, heaven declared itself to be full of joy over the coming into the world of this apparently, and indeed, positively, helpless babe. This is one of the beauties of the blessed Lord, and characteristic of his whole life, that he says, you may recall in the psalm, that from his mother's breast he was cast upon God. Now this is the man of whom Psalm 1 speaks. This is the man of whom Leviticus 2 speaks. Leviticus 2, you will know very well, is the meat offering. If you go through the Psalms, you will find over and over again certain verses, such as the first three here, are expressive of the meat offering. That is, those beautiful characteristics that came out of the blessed Lord when he was here, a man upon earth. What moves my affection, beloved saints of God, and I doubt not know yours, is this, that God should still rehearse the coming into the world in the simple manner of picture and type, as he does all throughout the Old Testament. If he talks to Adam, if he talks to Abraham, if he has a word to say to Noah, or if it is David himself, it is always with this in view, that there is someone coming beyond these, greater than these, a man, a superlative man. And if he has to talk to those of lesser degree, it is always, I believe, that he has before his mind, and in his own blessed heart, God, this man who would be found here doing his will and bringing honor and glory to his holy name, every step and every word and every thought of his mind. The obedience that characterized him took him into death. We might do things, you know, we might obey, we might love, but we never can surpass this blessed man. Why, scripture say that we might love a man so much that we lay down our lives for him. We might find something, even for a good man, you remember it says, we might even dare to die. That is, if he was a good man, we might be prepared perhaps to lay down our life for him. But this man, he didn't look for that which was good. He died for that which was not good. He died on account of that which was unlovely. But the love that motivated him was not the love that found anything in its object, as human love must find, having an object. But the love that brought him down was the motiveless love of the blessed God, whose nature is clearly love. Or the scripture says, God is love. So we went back to Leviticus 2 just for a brief second. You will see that the characteristic feature of the meat offering is, or should I say, the basic ingredient of the meat offering is the fine flour. And upon this fine flour, which tells us of this, of the evil and tenor of the pathway of this blessed man, which brought such delight to the heart of the Father, upon this fine flour we shall read, he shall pour the oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And that's why I read to you Luke 3, because there you will discover that at last there is a man here upon earth worthy of study, beloved young saints of God. There is a man here upon earth who was fitted to receive the oil that was poured upon him. Never before in all the history of mankind had there been a man here upon whom the Spirit of God could descend and above. You remember that when the Lord put out the birds from the ark, the dove came back because there was nowhere for it to put its feet and to return to its center. Now here was a man here upon earth upon whom the Spirit of God descends. And not only so, not only does the Spirit of God descend upon him, marking him up as that superlative man who in every manner was qualified to receive God the Holy Spirit, or the oil, if you will, poured upon him. Not only so, but heaven again, we read, was opened, and God the Father appears, or his voice is heard, declaring him to be his beloved Son. This is a beautiful picture and worthy of all deepest admiration. On the banks of Jordan, heaven opening, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, resting upon the head of this blessed man, and God the Father himself making it known that this was his beloved Son. There is nothing like it. There is nothing like it for all your heart and mind, beloved saints of God. And what God rehearses before our very eyes there on the banks of Jordan. This was indeed his beloved Son. Here was the answer to all that he had foretold or portrayed by shadow and type throughout all the Old Testament. Think of the joy in heaven when the babe is born here upon earth. All had waited in patience for the appearance of this babe. None had ever looked upon the face of the blessed God, but here in the babe in the manger was the one who had come from heaven, dependent upon the blessed God from his birth right down to the end of his days. It's a marvelous picture, beloved saints, and something worthy indeed of our attention, this child in Bethlehem's manger, which opens all heaven and sends all heaven agog, so to speak, because if none other except perhaps the shepherds appreciated who this child was, all heaven knew. All heaven had waited for this moment, and all heaven comes out in bursts of acclamation and praise. Glory to God in the highest, peace upon earth, good will towards men. And so you find throughout that perfect life from the child in the manger, and notice this, because I think it's a little touch of the Spirit of God to have us take account of when God finds a place for his beloved Son. He doesn't find a place in a mansion or in any great house or among a great family. He finds a place of reproach for his beloved Son. Here is a lesson for your heart and mind. You know, in case any of us might imagine that we might become something here. The blessed God, when he sends his Son into the world, picks up for him a place of complete and utter reproach. And there he lays the babe in Bethlehem's manger. And so the life begins. The life portrayed in Leviticus 2, the life called out in Psalm 1, the life of a perfect man who didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He had nothing to do with the plans and machinations of the mind of men. He was entirely separate and apart. He was the one upon whom the Holy Ghost had descended, setting him apart, if you will, in the same manner perhaps that you and I are set apart by God the Holy Spirit, but set apart clearly, not taking account of anything that was in the mind of the ungodly, neither did he take his place in the path that the sinners took, nor did he sit in the seat of the scornful. This blessed man was separate from his mother's womb. Said it before, and we read it often enough in the book of Psalms. And his delight from the moment that he took delight was in the law of the Lord. You remember he himself said, or spoke rather, of the seed that dropped into the ground, and then he spoke of the blade, and then the full air come to maturity. So you find this man as a babe in the manger, the seed, so to speak, coming to this world. Then you find the blade, because you listen to this boy of 12 talking in the temple to those who were his superiors, talking and answering and asking questions. And when his parents come and ask why he had forsaken them thus, he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" I couldn't do justice. I don't know of anybody who could, but certainly I couldn't do justice to the perfection that comes out of the life of Jesus. But this is a moral study, beloved saints of God. It's not a question of his official glories. It's not even a matter of his dying upon Calvary's cross. It's a matter of a perfect, holy, blessed man walking down here to the light of God the Father and setting you and I an example to follow in his steps. And so it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditates day and night. What a lesson it is, we might say, for one's own soul, to be occupied with a man whose heart is filled with the law of the Lord, and whose time is spent in meditating upon both day and night. And then he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It has both root, you see, and growth. And it brings forth fruit in its season. Have you thought about it, saying to God, of the season? There's a season for all things. To meditate upon the Lord's life in connection with this little current season is a sure delight to the soul. Think of this man at the graveside, for instance. Think of him meeting the widow woman coming out of the city of Nain. Think of it by the wellside. Whatever you will, there's a question of tears or small cause. There's a question of raising the dead or opening the mouth of the dumb. It's in season. Everything that this man does is in season. And he says, he's been like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It was never contemplated by the blessed God that his beloved son should be here without producing fruit for his honor and his glory. And this man produced fruit in his season. And I marked it out particularly for your attention, because here indeed is a avenue of investigation in the New Testament in connection with the seasonal activities of the blessed Lord. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever it says he doeth shall prosper. Clearly, no other name could be fitted into these three verses than the name of the blessed Lord. There's no other man, I know I'm repeating myself, but there's no other man ever trod this sea who could take these words, or about whom God could speak these words. It's not that the Lord himself claims this. You remember that on the mountainside he declared the tenets of the kingdom. Among them were many of those things which are brought out here. But here, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's nothing that blessed man put his hand to, about his saints of God, that did not bring prosperity in his strength. If it was a question of having to deal with those in need, or it was a question of having to deal with those in sorrow, or whatever it was, if it was a woman in need stretching out her hand, there was the efficacy to heal her. And so whatever he put his hand to, so to speak, what a delightful study then, beloved saints and novices, to have this simple psalm in effect before our souls, and to recall that it fits no other person than the blessed person of our Lord Jesus Christ.